Well, if you have your Bibles today, turn it to the first chapter of John. We're going to start there and look at some scripture, and then we're going to jump back into Isaiah. And this is the greatest story ever told, and the greatest story ever told never gets tired in the telling. It never gets old in the telling. It never gets boring in the telling. And I hope you feel the excitement that I do, and just to be able to share the blessings that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived as a man. He grew up and lived as a man, and then went to the cross and died for your sins and mine. And what a blessed thing to just be able to share this story with you today, brothers and sisters. And I hope you are being blessed by the season. I hope you stay focused on the fact that this season is about Jesus Christ, that it's all about the Christ child, and not to get caught up in the trappings and the busyness, and just to ignore that really it's just about sitting at the feet of Jesus and worshiping the Savior, worshiping the Christ child. And so if you do that, get some peace into your heart and slow down, focus on what this season is all about, what it means, and you'll be blessed if you do that, and you won't get stressed out and caught up in the season. Well, in the first chapter of John, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as if the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so there you have it, brothers and sisters, John's version of the birth of Jesus, and it can be encapsulated there in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, Matthew tells it like this in the first chapter of Matthew, starting in verse 17. "Therefore all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the time of Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place, that what was spoken of by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph arose from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her as a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Well, brothers and sisters, this story starts thousands of years before Jesus was born, and God looked all over the earth for an intercessor. God knew that the only way that man could be reconciled back to him was through his own son. He tells us that in Isaiah 59th chapter. If you have your Bibles there, turn back to Isaiah 59 starting in verse 14. And justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. And he put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. And so we see that Jesus Christ came to this earth, and because God looked all over this earth and tried to find one man that could intercede for the sins of mankind. He tried to find one man that could intercede for the wickedness and the lack of justice and the unrighteousness of mankind. And it says God looked all over, but he couldn't find any. He could not see one single man that he could use to intercede for the sins of mankind. And so he sent his own son, Jesus, to die on the cross. And chapter 63 of Isaiah takes this theme up again, 63 verse 4. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption has come. And I looked, and there was no one to help, and I was astonished that there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought salvation to me, and my wrath upheld me. And I trod down the peoples in my anger, and made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. And so, as we look across this nation today, as we look at each of our own individual lives today, we know that the only way that we can be reconciled back to God is through Jesus Christ. We know that the only way that we can have right standing with God is through Jesus Christ. And we just thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. We thank you that your own arm became the salvation for us, that your own arm became the intercessor for us. And so, as we think about intercession, as we think about a standing between life and death, as we think about those that are condemned to die, and each of us that is a sinner, we are condemned to die. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we know that each and every one of us has, as a sinner, fallen short of the glory of God, and there's no way that we can attain to that glory. There's no way that we can be reconciled to God except through an intercessor, except through someone who is perfect and someone who can stand in the gap between us and death. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ is the only intercessor that can stand in the gap between us and death. And so, as we look in Isaiah, let's turn back to the 7th chapter of Isaiah. And Isaiah prophesied in many different passages of Scripture and many different early books of the Bible. Isaiah was the most prolific in his prognostication. He was the most prolific in his pronunciations and in his prophecies. And so Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And so God with us was a name given to Jesus Christ, just as we saw in the account of Matthew when Joseph was given that dream that he would be the father of Jesus Christ, who was to be born to his betrothed wife, Mary. And so he was given the name Jesus. You will call this name Jesus. You will call this name Emmanuel. You will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so Isaiah predicted 700 years before it came about that Jesus was coming, that Jesus would be the Son of God, that he would be God with us. And I'm sure, you know, many people in that lifespan or that time span of 700 years, many people probably thought, boy, Isaiah has really missed the mark here, and Isaiah has gone clear off on the deep end. And yet eventually Isaiah was vindicated, as all the Old Testament prophets were. And every book of the Old Testament speaks of Jesus Christ. Every book of the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. Every book of the Old Testament points to the coming of the Messiah. And so Isaiah was one of the what we call the major prophets, but every one of the prophets, the minor prophets, even Moses and David and all of the other writers of the Old Testament, they all pointed to Jesus, and they said, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. And so they knew that the Messiah was coming. They knew that that his coming would mean that an intercessor for the sins of mankind had shown up, that an intercessor had taken his stand between life and death, that because of the intercessor and because the intercessor stood up in the gap between life and death, that we could have eternal life through him. And what a glorious story it is. What a glorious opportunity it is for us to be blessed in ways that we can't even fathom in our human minds and can't even fathom in our fleshly existence and our natural mind. And yet God in his infinite wisdom, God in his omnipotence and his omniscience, has laid out this plan for all mankind, not just for us here in this country or in this state, but for every person, every walk of life, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every distant, remote part of the earth. God has laid out this plan, and his desire is that all should come to know him, that all should come to a state of repentance, that all should be reconciled back to him. And because of the intercessor that he sent, we all are able to do that. Well, I'm going to turn over here to Isaiah 9, another prophetic scripture here. Verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Thou shalt multiply the nation, thou shalt increase their gladness. They will be glad in thy presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou shalt break the voice of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppression as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And so, as we look back to verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And isn't it amazing how prophetic time keeps repeating itself and prophecy keeps repeating itself as the end days draw near, as we look forward to the second coming of Jesus. People walk in great darkness, and as we look forward to Jesus' return and to rapture the church out, and the events of the tribulation and the events of the beginning of sorrows and birth pangs, we look forward to that great light coming again. And yet each of us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have that great light within us right now. And as the times become darker, and as the life here on this earth and in America and in the cities and nations with which we live, right this very day, the darkness seems to be increasing, and it seems to be so oppressive at times. And yet God is saying, shine, light. He's saying the time for you to shine, the time for you to shine, brothers and sisters, the time for you to emit that light is right now, to walk into that darkness with your light, to shine your light into that darkness. And as Isaiah said, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in dark land, the light will shine on them. And God is calling us, brothers and sisters, to shine onto those who are in darkness, and to speak the word of truth into them, and to cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers. God is calling us as Christians. In Mark 16:15, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. And then Jesus lists several things. They're going to cast out demons, and they're going to lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover, and they will be a light into this dark land. And so as we focus on Jesus coming into the darkness back 2,000 years ago, as we focus on the birth and the incredible events of the birth of Jesus and the prophecy fulfilled, the number of hundreds of prophecies fulfilled, as we focus on that at this time and at this season, we just say, brother and sister, take Jesus and let him be your light. Take Jesus and let him be your light into a dark land, that it is no longer necessary to walk in darkness as the peoples of old did. It is no longer necessary to be oppressed and burdened down and afflicted with darkness, but you can walk in the light. And that is what God has called us to do. At Isaiah 9:6, he says, a child will be born to you, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And as we focus on the government, as we think about what's going on in our government and governments around the world, there's turmoil and there's strife and there's dissension and there's great polarity and there's great distrust and there's great affliction among the peoples of the world, and some peoples have no freedoms, and others that do have freedoms feel like they're losing their freedoms, and some are persecuted, openly persecuted and oppressed and afflicted. And God says the government is going to rest on Jesus' shoulders. The government is resting on his shoulders. He wants to take the government, and he wants to move the kings in places that only he can move them, and he wants to turn the hearts of kings. And so our job, brothers and sisters, is to pray for those in authority over us, is to pray for them, change them. And he can change a man in a heartbeat. He can change a man in an instant, and he can change a whole nation in a heartbeat in an instant. And so as we pray, as we're faithful in our prayers, God will answer our prayers, and he will heal our land. And so that's what God calls us to do, is just to be faithful in prayers and to continue to call out to him and to continue to cry out for mercy. The government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And so Jesus was given many names, and each one of them is a banner. Each one of them is a standard by which he was known then, and he will be known forevermore. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the one we can go to and take all of our troubles to. He's the one we can take all of our sorrows to. He's the one that we can pour out our burdens to. He carries our burdens daily. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle at heart, and I will give rest to your weary soul. He wants to take your burdens. He wants to take your sorrows. He is the Mighty God. He is the second part of the triune nature of God. He is sitting at the right hand of the Almighty God, and Jesus Christ himself is fully God and was fully human also. And so he is able to identify with us and sympathize with us, with our humanity, because he too was tempted in every way and afflicted in every way that we too are. And he is the Eternal Father, because he is our Eternal Father, just as Jehovah God is also our Eternal Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. Without the peace of Jesus, there is no peace. When you want peace in your heart, brother and sister, call on Jesus. When you need peace, call on Jesus. There is no peace on this earth without Jesus Christ, and there will be no peace without him. And as the end days spiral to a conclusion, as we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus, on the earthly scale, in the natural, there will be less peace and less peace. There will be more wars and more contention and more strife, and Satan will cause division and murder and lying and cheating and stealing. And Jesus Christ says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give, but as I give. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And so Jesus Christ is our peace. He wants to be your peace. He wants to offer to you peace beyond anything that this earth has to offer. Well, I'm going to close up today with a passage of scripture from Isaiah 11. And I would just encourage you in the days ahead, around this time of the year, Christmas time, the birth of our Lord and Savior, I would just encourage you to spend time in the book of Isaiah. Just read through these prophetic passages, maybe read the whole book, and you will just be tremendously blessed by it. Isaiah 11, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt around his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the roaring lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Well, if you can picture that, brothers and sisters, that's a picture of the end time fulfilled. That's a picture of a new heaven and a new earth there. That's a picture when the young boy will play beside the hole of the cobra, and that's a picture when there will be no more strife, there will be no more war, there will be no rumors of war, there will be no more anger and no more murder. And so Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all things, and as the water covers the sea, so the knowledge of the Lord will cover this whole earth. So the knowledge of the Lord will bless you. So the knowledge of the Lord will lift you up in this time when there's darkness all around. So the knowledge of the Lord will give peace into your heart when there people say, "Peace, peace, where is there peace? There is no peace." And so the knowledge of the Lord will be the refuge under which we all can take shelter. The knowledge of the Lord will cover us with his wings. And so we just take this opportunity to say thank you, Lord Jesus. We say thank you, Jehovah, for sending your son, Jesus, to die on a cross, for sending him first as a babe in a manger, and then to grow in wisdom and stature, to grow up to be a man and to die on a cross. And brother and sister, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have never crossed that bridge to step out in faith and say, "Jesus, I want to make you the Lord and Savior of my life," if you've never stepped out in faith and asked him to come into your life, you need to repent of your wicked ways. You need to turn of your wicked ways. Turn back and just ask God to forgive you, and he is faithful to forgive you. He will forgive you. And if you turn back, ask him to come into your life, for it is by faith through grace that you're saved. And so we just thank you, Jesus, that you became the intercessor, that you stood between life and death, and you allowed us to be reconciled back to God, that we could make a right standing with God. We just thank you for that. And I just pray that you would make that decision today. Don't let another day, don't let another Christmas go by, don't let another season go by, don't let another second go by without making that decision to repent of your sins, to turn from your wicked ways, and follow it up with baptism, follow it up with a commitment to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, follow it up with a commitment to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, and you will be thankful, you will be blessed, you will live for eternity with Jesus Christ, and you will know that the light has come into your heart. And we just thank you for this opportunity. Well, God bless you today. I hope you have a blessed holiday season, a blessed Christmas season, a blessed time with your family. And we just look forward to this opportunity for another year to bring these radio broadcasts to you. And join us next week, if you would. God bless you. Have a great week.